Hi, Dean. Well, we keep pretty busy getting a lot of reports in from different places. This Rangoon matter shows just a little bit of possibility in it. We'll follow up on that, see what it means, but still no breaks of any major importance. I'm glad the UN put the matter on the agenda. That would have been looked upon as a rebuff had they not done that. But I think he'll be a little quiet of that. But I think he'll be a little quiet up there now for two or three days while they have some talks in the corridors. Have some talks in the corridors.
What is the Rangoon thing? The thing we were talking about the other day?
Well, he came in. He came in with both his manner and what was said was a little more. Moderate and rather indicated possibly that they expected us to reply and that there were some things that perhaps ought to be talked about and that kind of thing. Tommy Thompson, Bill Bundy and I have been putting it under a microscope and we're inclined to think that it's worth going back to them just at least to keep the record straight but also to find out whether he does have some instructions that we don't know about.
I spent some time with the Indian ambassador today and I told him that I wanted to confer with the appropriate people on the Hill about making another emergency allotment of food to them.
Right.
It's going to be pretty expensive, and he has ideas are pretty high. We gave him $6 million last year, and he wants $5 million this month. I gave him $1.5 million last month and $1.5 million before. We've given him $3 million up now, and we would normally give him, if we did the same we did last year, $3 million more, but they got an emergency, and I told him that what we would try to do is to meet with the people this week and give them some kind of an emergency allotment, probably 1 million tons, so we've allotted them through February, but give them enough to March and April anyway, so they can go and get it shipped. She won't be here till March, and then we could see what she wants our people to do for her people and what we want her people to do for us and kind of balance the scales and see that we have a satisfactory working arrangement between the two countries. And then I told them that we would ask the Congress to pass a resolution setting aside whatever they felt they could, whatever we felt is essential, whatever I was willing to recommend. Wheat for the rest of the year for their famine problem. And I said, now there'll be a good deal of debate about it and we may actually get criticized and get defeated. Well, he said they're ready to be criticized. I said, but I think it'll be a good thing. They say we don't have enough discussion of these things and we'll have debate and our people will know what we're doing for India. Every truck driver will know, and the people of India ought to know too, I guess, from the result of these things. A lot of people think we're doing them in the back room. He wasn't disturbed by it or pleased by it. He just accepted it. Very reasonable.
Well, I think it also keeps them pushing on other nations for some help.
Yes, and I told him that had to be done, and we would I want to seriously think, and I think it's a good way to test it, maybe, this emergency, is to just say that we're willing to give two-thirds. We have two-thirds of the exportable wheat surplus in the world, and we'll put up two-thirds of whatever they determine is essential through the United Food Organization, and let the rest of the nations put up a third. And that would be our resolution. And then we let Utah get in business and Goldberg get in business and let the United Nations do it. Maybe they won't cuss us so damn much. At least test what they're saying about it.
Right.
And he doesn't know. I believe they like a little unilateral business because they can take the Washington Post, New York Times, and us and fold us up in about 24 hours. The other countries don't come in too much. They've been going to all of them, but they don't have much progress.
Well, I think a resolution in the Congress would remind the Indians that they've got a political constituents in this country they've got to think
about. I think that's what we got to do. I think that's exactly what we've got to do. And I told him what I told Ayub, and I just said, now, we just got to have this understood. We're not going to furnish you with the food and implements to fight the Indians and vice versa, and our dollars be fighting each other out there. And I want to know here and now if you're going to put a stop to that, and if you're willing to not tie up with the Chinese to the extent that you were inimical to our interest. And he gave me a commitment, shook hands, that he'd never do anything inimical to us. And I rather thought it had its influence, and I think it did. I think he knew that we weren't going to do any more. So anyway.
You hit it right on the button the other day when you said that we were present at Tashkent. I think you very much were.
Now, so that's what I'll do. Now, you ought to think who I would call down here. I really don't know. I would guess, though, it's Fulbright and Sparkman, and Symington's very interested in that, and probably we ought to take the Republicans, Hickey, Looper, and so on. So I would get a pretty full group. I know I want to have some of the appropriation people, like Russell and maybe Pastore, and the House people, too. So you might get MacArthur busy with Larry O'Brien and let them see who we would call on that. Now, there's a... I told Mansfield the other night that I thought we ought to write a letter to the Prime Minister before we left, asking him to try to see if he couldn't get the co-chairman to do something. Mansfield made a big speech about it today. Do we want to get that in the mail?
Well, we've pushed the two co-chairmen on that pretty hard.
But just before he leaves to go on this new trip, would it be a good thing for me to write him and say, would you take another look at it and talk to him over there and see what you can get to going?
Yes, I think so. I think a personal message from you to Wilson on that would be good.
I told Mac to do it the other day to get in touch with you, and he said he would, but I guess he hasn't.
All right, well, I'll call Mac on that.
All right. Anything? Now, on the Clark Clifford thing, I gather Clark does not want to come in at the man level. He wants to come in direct at the... And he doesn't want to get away too quick, and he wants to wait until till June. I was hoping he'd come in now, and...
Well, he seemed to be strongly resistant to that, both on personal grounds, his own disengagement of some of his present operations, and also he feels that he'd be in the wrong spot, and if he were in there temporarily, he wouldn't really get hold of it, and... that it would complicate it unduly. I think I told him I thought that there'd be a lot of advantage in his coming in and getting aboard and getting a swing of things before he moved on. I think he was a little sensitive, too, that George might think that he was in there snapping at his heels. I personally don't think that would have been a problem. But he was very strong with me that he didn't think that he ought to take one job for 3 months and then take another job later. But we can talk about it. We have a little time on that, and I can have a chance to talk with you about it. I had a pretty good meeting with about 150 members of the House this morning, the regular Wednesday morning briefing, almost all on Vietnam.
Did you talk to them and then they asked you a question?
Yes, we spent about an hour and a half. And I opened up with about 15 or 20 minutes of comments on, and then they asked questions the rest of the time, made comments. I think the principal criticism came from three or four of them who wanted to bomb Haiphong and go all out, but there was very little of the pull out of Vietnam. I didn't get any of that this morning, but it seemed to be a pretty good session.
What are we going to do with the Fulbright Mansfield block that encouraging these?
Well, I've got to call in for Fulbright now because I want to tell him that I was a bit confused about what I saw on the tickers because his statement today seemed not to take into account that you and I have been trying to get a Geneva conference for years. It's saying that he was urging the administration to accept a Geneva conference. Now that it looks as though Hanoi and Peiping might accept one, well, he's wrong on both counts. We've been pressing for such a conference ever since you've been president, and there's no indication that Hanoi and Peiping are prepared to come to one. But I thought I'd just find out whether he...
I sure would, and I would tell him that the president told Mansfield and the speaker Monday afternoon when he met with them that he had already instructed his people to take it up with Wilson, ask Wilson to renew it again, not that he thought it would be go anywhere, but that he wanted to be sure that he had fully explored it.
I also told Arthur Goldberg yesterday to get hold of his British colleague and have the British member of the Security Council go around to the Russians and say, well, I understand you're interested in a Geneva conference. Let's go ahead and have one. Then we won't have to have the Security Council. I haven't heard back on that yet. Well, I'll get hold of Mike and we'll get this message off to Wilson.
All right. All right.